Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start reading in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. Lord, teach us today. Teach us today the character of faith. What kind of people that makes us. And Lord, open our eyes to what that better thing is that you have provided and prepared for us. Open our eyes and our ears. Turn our hearts toward you in repentance and faith, Lord, that we might draw near as you command. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's talk about the heart of God today and the reality of being his people, like the character of what it means to be a Christian, like what sort of people are we? God says in the book of Deuteronomy and then all over the place in the Bible, okay? God executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner. He loves the foreigner. He loves the immigrant is what it's saying. Giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the sojourner. For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Before the Dalings moved to Fort Wayne, way back when, we lived in the suburbs of Chicago, and Jamie worked for an organization called World Relief, who among many other things, helped resettle refugees and then connect the church to that work. And one of the things that we had the opportunity to do was to go to the airport and to actually pick up refugees when they first came to the United States and bring them to their new home having their homes already, most things already provided for, whatever few items that they brought with them in tow. And we went there one, I believe it was a Sunday night, and we had to wait there forever. Went to O'Hare. And finally, this family comes through. And their names, they became great friends of ours. Names were the Farojas. The Farojas, under the threat of death, had been on the run and had been waiting for a home for many years. They arrived with a few possessions, probably more than a lot of refugees did, but still just a few, just some suitcases. And on the way to their new home, as I drove a big van to Carroll Stream, Illinois, we got to listen to our 10-year-old chattering away with their 10-year-old in the back. And then the Ferojas' older children expressing how excited they were that they would be able to set up a Christmas tree and Christmas lights, and they would be able to have the window open, and they would be safe. We heard their parents express just gratitude that night they would lay their heads down and their children would be safe. They knew what it was to lose everything but their lives. They knew what it was like to walk away from everything they know and love. They knew that there were better things than the possessions that they had, and so they knew how to be grateful for small things that can easily be taken away. Author and philosopher Jamie Smith describes the Christian experience in this world as a refugee experience. And I think he's right. Ours is a refugee faith. We are, and I'm not saying that, and I'm saying that because of something actually in our text. If you look probably back a page at Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16, you'll hear the fathers of our faith described as strangers and exiles seeking a homeland, a better country. That is the character of God's people throughout the ages. God, like Deuteronomy says, loves refugees. And he expects his people to care for refugees because he does. Because that's what they have been, and that's who they are. That's what we are. Now, if you've read your Bible, the descriptions of what was done by faith that we read here are going to ring a bell, probably a lot of bells. The point isn't for you to get lost in the details and to try to match everything up, because you won't, actually. There's probably a number of things that each of those things describe. But you may have noticed that the first few verses that we read describe great and mighty works that were done in this world by faith in God, like great successful things. By faith, kingdoms were conquered. By faith, righteousness and justice was accomplished, promises obtained, mouths of lions were stopped, fire's power was quenched, strength came out of weakness, mighty victories in war. Even women received their dead back by resurrection. Things have gone well. They've sometimes gone right. All these things are awesome and they're inspiring and they're encouraging. Why? Because there are times when it seems like things are being set to rights. But here's the thing. All of them are two things. They're temporal. That means they belong to this world, and they're temporary. They're temporal and they're temporary. They are victories of faith. But you may also have noticed a list of things accomplished by faith that were very different that came after that. When it said that in verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection, the next two things it says actually are a contrast to that. By faith, some were tortured and refused to accept release. And very like straightforwardly translating the next few words, it was so that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection from the dead than those women received back is what it's saying. And though those women received back their dead by resurrection, others by faith received something else. They received trial, mocking, trials of mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment. By faith, they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats. They were destitute, afflicted, mistreated. They wandered about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. In other words, though the world was not worthy of them, by faith they suffered oppression, poverty, and they did not have a home. That does not sound like things set to right to me. Do you see the contrast? By faith we make what Psalm 84 calls this veil of tears into a place of springs. What I mean is we work to make this place in this world not just habitable, but a place of joy for those around us. We care for the needs of each other. We look to the good of our neighbor. But we don't carry an expectation that what is done is permanent. Because we don't mistake this for our home. By this faith, God acts in mighty ways in this world and this age. And yet by this same faith, we are able to let go of everything that this world has to offer. We can endure trial and testing even to death. It is by faith that our lives are preserved in every circumstance, and more critically, it is by faith that our lives can even be given up. Man, it's great when things seem to go right, isn't it? But that isn't the measure of faith. Because this isn't our home. So this week, in the next week and a half, we're hosting the election. We're doing early voting and then election day. We're going to host that here. This is one of those ways that we can serve our community, and we're excited to do that. What a wonderful thing we get to do. But I don't know about you, but over the course of my lifetime, and especially over the last couple of decades, it seems like every election has become this ever-increasing apocalyptic narrative, apocalyptic story of, like, this is the most important thing that has ever happened in the history of the world, and if it doesn't go our way, all is lost. Do you feel that? And I don't care what side of the, like, what your politics are. Like, that is just right in front of us all the time. We must be very wary, not just wary, we must reject any voice that equates this world with God's kingdom. We are, the truth is, strangers and exiles. Refugees whose true home is a better country. We bless this world in every way possible, and yet we remain subject to oppression and ridicule and mistreatment at the hands of the citizens of this country. This world. That's what I mean by that, by the way. Not just this country. It's by faith. It's by faith that we find the smiling approval of a Father who commands us to come home. Come near. We have a refugee faith. Faith. Man, faith that expects nothing of ourselves. Nothing of ourselves. And everything of God. Faith that receives Jesus and rests in Jesus. Faith that is more, the faith that Jesus is more than enough is the faith that causes us to endure. Everything we have in this world can be taken. And I got news for you. Until the day that Christ comes again, eventually all of it will be taken. By faith, we know that God has prepared something better for us through Jesus, though, that can't be diminished. It can't be diminished by time, by chance, or any power in this whole universe, visible or invisible. Good news. I have good news for us. God commands us to draw near. And all he has done for the saving of his people is for this purpose, that we would draw near. It is what he wants. We don't have to wonder. We say, what is God's will? This is God's will. Draw near to him. And I've got even better news. He knows you can't do it. And so he commands you to come in the only way, in only one way, by faith, receiving and resting in Jesus. And he knows that faith seems weak, that faith, it just seems weak in comparison to the way that power is wielded in this world. He knows how hard it is for us to hold on to the hope of our confession of Jesus, and he knows we need endurance. God wants us near, and he knows our need. That's awesome. So he makes it clear to us that faith success does not depend on any outcome except for one. That we cling to Jesus, that we hold on to him. By faith, many mighty acts are performed in this world. There is no doubt. And we should rejoice when it happens. They happen for God's glory and not for ours. So when mighty acts of faith are happening, it's not so that we would fill this place with all sorts of people and we would have all the money and we would do all these great and flashy things. None of that matters. It is for his glory and it so that it has to be done in his way and only his way. Yet faith will never, ever let us mistake these sort of successful outcomes for success. Faith does not let us mistake this world or this age for our home. God has provided something better for us. Better in ways that we've not even begun to think about. So let's spend a few minutes thinking about it. You will not receive what you most long for here. Look at verses 39 and 40, though. It says, all these were, though commended by God through faith, that is, commended, I mean, that's, it's probably obvious what that word means, but what it very specifically means is that God testified publicly his approval. They did have the smiling approval of God the Father on them. But they didn't receive the fulfillment of God's promise. And why? Look at verse 40. Listen carefully, because this is incredible. They didn't receive the fulfillment of the promise because he provided something better for us, for our sake. And what he means is that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And remember, we've talked about this word perfect in the book of Hebrews before. Well, what it's talking about is being made completely fit for life with God. So they would not be able to be made complete until you and I are with them. That is astonishing to me. Dude, Abel, Enoch, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the prophets, Peter, the Apostle Paul, all the disciples, the thief on the cross, the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair, all of God's people throughout all of the ages who have come to him by faith, they will not be completely ready for life with God until we are all together. Until that time, it's no doubt the Bible teaches us that we will be with Christ when we die. But until we are all of God's people are one and receive our inheritance together, we're not complete. When we finally come home and we walk through the door of the new heavens and the new earth together under that eternal welcome home sign, that's when we will be complete. To receive Christ in full means that we receive all who belong to Him. That means you, and you, and you. His whole body. Next week, when we start in chapter 12, it's going to talk about the fact that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And we'll talk about this more next week, but these are the ones who were publicly approved by God. They were commended by God. And now they stand as a cloud of witnesses around us, cheering us on. Go, 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 go. Run to Jesus. Go. Run with endurance. Keep going. We need you here. Knowing all this, though, what difference does that make to our here and now? And by the way, that's only one way that what He's provided for us is better than what we've even considered. You get way more than you think when you come to Jesus. But knowing all this now, we can rejoice with gratitude when faith has triumphs, and we do. When the person is healed, when we find the keys, when nations repent and there's revival, we can rejoice with gratitude with all those sorts of things in the here and now, because we can receive these things as gifts without ever depending on them to be permanent. We can be here, working in this world for justice and righteousness and holiness and joy and love. We can rejoice with grateful hearts when love and hope in God take ground in this world by faith, even for a moment. And we can accept good accomplished by faith with gratitude, because we don't expect anything in this world to satisfy the deepest longing of our souls. We don't expect them to make everything okay, because we're not yet home. We're refugees. We're refugees. And ours is a refugee faith, so we can rejoice when faith triumphs in our suffering all the more. Because God, our Father, smiles in approval on us. Because what Jesus suffered for us tells us that these kind of things that we face are not a sign of faith's failure, but its strength and its victory. Our Father, our good Father, will never let us settle for something less than our true homeland, because He will never let us settle for something that is not near Him and not complete. Your Father doesn't settle for half measures, is what I'm telling you. And whether or not whether or not today this has been, like, this is what you're experiencing, like on the surface of your life. Take hold of this Jesus by faith. Jesus doesn't need you to be strong. Remember I said good news. You can't do it. You can't do it. And God sees that. You can't get home from here. So he came and got you. In many ways, that doesn't diminish, I mean, that doesn't diminish the difficulty and the pain of what we go through. Actually, I think it probably makes it clearer and sharper in a lot of ways. But this isn't home. You're not home yet. But look around you. Look around you. These people are the ones that are walking with you home. These are ones that will join arm in arm with you and Moses and Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and walk into your eternal inheritance. And you know what? If I ever have the great honor, and it is a great honor, to be able to walk with you when you have lost someone, you will almost certainly hear me read you these two verses from Hebrews 11 and remind you. We don't come into our inheritance as individuals, but as a whole. What God has for us is way better than you think it is. So we can take joy in what he has for us now and not dependent on it to be permanent. We can keep going when it's taken. And we can encourage one another to keep going. So encourage one another to keep going. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that under even our most ideal circumstances, this world still falls all the way short of what you have for us. And thank you that we get to be here. And we get to make, and we get to work and bear fruit and serve you and love our neighbor and make and try to ease their burdens and love them. Lord, would you make us faithful to that? And remove every bit of fear and anxiety that says that what this world has is what we most need. In your name we pray. Amen.